Good afternoon, my dear friend Pilgrim Bradley Shermside. So what a pleasure it is for me to have the opportunity to talk to you about something so special for us, that is the Camino Santiago. Thank you so much for repeating our chat again. I really, really, really hope that we have here a good moment talking about something so special as the Camino. So, Bradley, let's start from the beginning. How did you were called to the Camino Santiago?
Good question. Well, I'll cut a long story short. I read two books prior to this chance meeting with an old friend of mine who I encountered on the London Underground. I got onto the wrong train by mistake. And on that wrong train turned out to be a friend of mine who's very elusive. He's never on social media. He doesn't respond to emails. He's kind of, he's an elusive character. Haven't seen him in a long time. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he's on the train. He says, actually, I've been looking for you. I wanted to tell you about this walk I've been doing, or I have recently done, which was turned out to be the Camino de Santiago. The rest is history. 3 months later, no, sorry, 12 months later, I was walking on the Camino.
So one of the things that I'm really looking to, trying to bring the opinion from the pilgrims is that first impression. So for me, it was actually, this is a really special day because on this day, 5 years ago, on this day, on the 24th, it was my first day on the Camino ever, 5 years ago.
And the Portuguese?
On the Portuguese, yeah. Yeah. And in Barcelos, really in a place that is like 5 kilometers from the place where I'm recording this, the albergue where I am, Hospitalero. I stopped to have a drink in a cafe. I stopped, I asked for a drink, a Coca-Cola, I guess. And in that place, I met the first pilgrim ever. And if you look at this pilgrim, it's like a rough aspect, or long bear, brown guy, poor clothes, and you. But anyway, I talked to this guy. I just felt so connected to just understanding that he was a pilgrim. So I talked to this guy and he told me, I asked the reason. I don't know if I was doing good or not. I asked the reason to this guy. I asked, why are you doing the Camino? And you know what he told me? What his answer? I live on the Camino. And at this moment, 5 years ago, he was living on the Camino for the time of 9 years and 4 months. And that was the first pilgrim that I met ever.
He's a lucky guy, huh?
While on the Camino. And that was like my first big impression of the Camino. And it was really, really special to understand that on this journey, whatever is the Camino, this is special for people. That was my first big impression. Did you remember your first impression or your first big impression while walking the Camino?
What a nice question. The question that brings, washes up to such good feelings from the past. And I think every time you go back to the Camino, you experience that feeling in a different way. Like the first time I was on the Camino, I think it was just been in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, SJPP, and just walking around and seeing all the other pilgrims and just the sense of anticipation and excitement in the air. And then, for example, this summer, you know, my wife and I managed to get back on the Camino after COVID, after the so much upheaval in our own lives that we never thought we'd be able to get back on the Camino. And we did. And just You know, there's a Camino that goes from Santiago Airport, right?
Yeah.
The Skyway.
Yeah.
So you get off the plane, you walk out of the terminal, and you start walking the Skyway, and that takes you to Santiago de Compostela. So that's what we did. We didn't even know it existed, but we saw this sign for the Skyway. We're like, actually, we could walk into Santiago instead of taking the bus or the taxi. It's like, let's do that. So why would we want to get a taxi? And just that feeling, that relief, that ecstasy of just walking amongst those eucalyptus trees once again. That is just a moment that will always live with me and was as special as the first time I ever walked the Camino. So, yeah, it comes at you in different moments. And then, obviously, you can be... I remember being in when I did the Camino Portugués, and I found my way to the starting point in one of the tube stations in Porto. I can't remember the name of it. Vilarinho or something like that. Yeah, I can't remember. And I looked lost, and this old lady just did this to me. It's like, you need to go that way for the Camino. You know, this way, this way. And it was just so special. It's like those encounters with the locals that they don't have to help you. And the fact that she could see that we were looking lost, and from across the street, she just does that. And it's just those little moments that make the Camino so special.
Let me told you about my last arrival in Santiago. So it was 3 months ago, on the 18th of August. I walked the Camino San Salvador and then the Primitivo. But this Camino was kind of different from the others because I was walking in name of a friend of mine that is really, really sick with cancer. So I decided to...
You walk in with a friend that's sick or for
him. And I dedicated the Compostela. I dedicated the Compostela and the pilgrim passports to this Spanish guy that lives in Sevilla. And I don't know, but although he was not able to walk, he was with me. And when he told me that he had cancer, it was in June while I was in Sevilla with him. And in that moment, I decided to walk the Camino for him. And he told me that the results are good. Maybe in some months, he will be able to travel. When I decided to walk the Camino, and I went and booked everything in advance because of the COVID, I known that I will arrive in Santiago at 18. So, like, 1 month before I call, and I just ask him, if you can travel, please be at the 18 in Santiago. Because I have a surprise for you. I didn't know why, but I just said, I have a surprise for you. So I walked the Camino, I dedicated the Compostela, and on the 18th, he was there waiting for me on Paso de Obradoiro. And I don't know, I started in a point like before Pedroso at 6. At 6 in the morning, I started. And I don't know what happened to me because the day before, it was like the worst day. I was struggling a bit. I was tired. It was almost 17 days walking and I was tired. And it was like the worst day walking, the last day before reaching Santiago. But I don't know, in that day, I started at 6. And before 9, I don't know why. I don't know why, but this is true. Before 9, I was at Monte Rosso. In 3 hours, I arrived in Monte Rosso. I don't know. I just felt, and I comment with this with other pilgrims. I just felt that I, like someone is pushing me to arrive, to be there with this person, you know, and that was kind of a bigger deal for me. And the arrival with him there waiting for me that time was something unbelievable. You know, tell us about one of your arrivals in St. James, please.
Well, the first time I think is always the most special, arriving in Santiago. I think the first time you do it is that's something that can't compare to the other times, because once you've been there once, you know what to expect. The element of surprise isn't there so much. There's less curiosity. But for example, when I arrived there for the first time with my wife, compared to that was special for different reasons. And I think whether you're going there for the first time or whether for the third time or fourth time, you can really feed off the joy of all the other pilgrims in the square that are arriving as well. And you can see them celebrating. And even though that you can have that first time experience through them as well. And I would say for anyone that's arriving in Santiago now, just to get there and don't have an agenda. Don't think I need to go and get my compost. If you have the luxury of time, Don't think I need to go get my Compostela. Don't think I need to go and get accommodation. Go to the square, get a drink if you need one. Get some food from a Gadis supermarket or whatever it may be, and just go and sit in the square and just soak it all in, absorb it all. And try and remember every single little detail of that moment forever, because that is something that will live with you forever. So take it all in, the sights, the sounds, the smells, your feelings. And hopefully it won't be an anticlimax. For me, it wasn't. It never is. And there's lots of different things going on. Sometimes the fanfare of it all can make it seem a bit tacky, but no, it's still special. It is special.
Just do something like this.
Exactly. That is exactly what you should do. Yes, that's what I recommend doing.
So, Brelli, let's go to one of the main points of our talk. Let's talk about your book. But first, what has the Camino given to you? What is the things that are on the Camino, that isn't on the Camino, that helped you, that inspired you to write about it, to write about the Camino Santiago?
I think the Camino is so unique. It's like some kind of version of utopia. Maybe I'm looking at it through rose-tinted glasses there, but it's as perfect a society as you could possibly find. It's a sub-society. It brings the best out of people and sometimes the worst when they're tired and hungry. But, you know, that's understandable. We can all get hangry from time to time. The unique aspect is the people, the pilgrims and the locals, the bar owners you meet along the way, the animals that you encounter along the way as well. You know, you get dogs following you and cats following you, and maybe I'm just tired when I see it, but sometimes I think the cows speak to you as well. Maybe I'm sounding a bit crazy, you know. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit there, but
no. But really, I felt that on this Camino. I felt that the fact that the cow was looking just like into me and through me. I don't know.
Well, you know, the cows are officially the most dangerous. Large animal in the UK. So maybe they're thinking they're going to eat you. I don't know. But no, I'm only joking. But that's a true fact. But anyway, I don't think the cows are like that on the Camino. But the point is, you feel a connection to everyone and everything. And that connection is through nature and through the simple but powerful act of walking. And walking on the Camino is a hidden treasure. That still isn't in the mainstream, really, is it?
Yeah. Look at this. Look at this.
We're still in the minority as Camino graduates. He's saying, "Where are you going?" He's saying, "Where did you come from today? Where are you going? How many times have you been walking on the Camino?" He's definitely speaking to you.
Yeah,
he speaks Portuguese, that cow, I think. He speaks Portuguese, this cow.
Maybe.
I think so.
Something similar, like Gallego.
Gallego, maybe it's a Gallego cow or something like that. But he definitely looks like he's speaking the universal language of the pilgrim,
That's
which is
amazing.
adventure.
That's amazing. So talk about your book, The Only Way is West, please.
Well, I'm not the kind of person that likes to talk about myself or my book or whatever, but since you asked me, I'll just a brief overview. It's a bit different. It's kind of a humorous account, I guess. But a very honest account of my failings as a young man, and the growing pains of being a late developer in life, and learning from your mistakes, and but it also is a completely open and honest account of the good, the bad, the ugly of the Camino. I talk about the good, which is the pilgrims you can meet along the way. I talk about the challenging, which is the as you get around the 100 kilometer mark, it can become a little bit of a pantomime at times. Yeah, that's it right there. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, for me, who wants to buy it, there's there you go.
Thanks. Thanks
It's
for
lovely.
showing.
It's lovely. It's beautiful. I
Yeah,
don't
it's done well. It's reached the top of the bestsellers list in the UK, in Canada, and Australia, in some very competitive categories such as travel writing, action and adventure biographies, and humorous essays. So for a first-time book, I'm really proud of it. But it definitely there's more to come. There's more to come. But yeah, it's done well. But that's the you know this is what's out there now. But I've got to deliver another one, so that's what I'm working on right now. And like I said, I'm not here to talk about myself really. If anyone wants to know, the book has currently got 383 reviews on the UK Amazon, and it's got 4.5 out of 5, 89% positive reviews. So I'm really proud of that. And if you like a humorous, open, honest account of the Camino, that maybe he's a bit quirky and a bit different, then maybe if you're looking for something that is deep, searching, and spiritual, then it probably won't be for you because it's not that kind of book. Though there is an element of personal development in there. But yeah, there's lots of really good books out there on the Camino. Mine, hopefully, is one of them. And thanks for mentioning.
So, Bradley, did you ever imagine to leave yourself in a small town of the Camino?
Sorry, I don't understand the question. Did you say leave myself?
No. If you are ever imagine yourself living in a small town
Oh, of
while on the Camino,
course. Of course. Of course.
which
Oh, these are tough questions, Guilherme. Tough questions. Which small town would we live on the Camino? I mean, my wife's in the background there. You can see her kind of thing. Give us a wave, Rach. Which small town would we live on the Camino, Rach? What do you think? Which small town did we like? There's so many, Guilherme, so many. You think of one, Rach, think of one. You know what? Small town on the Camino. Can it be any Camino? Does it have to be the
Any Camino. I will tell you mine.
Valença? Valença on the Camino Portuguese. Love Valença. Love Valença.
Nice. Really?
Living by the river, living by the river. You got the best of Portugal and Spain. Valencia's beautiful. Tui's beautiful. That would be the dream, man. That would be the dream. Good
Really nice
idea.
city. Really nice
I'm looking for. I'm looking to buy a house at the moment. Maybe that's where I'm going to go.
city.
Good
Really
idea.
nice city. So, I don't know. There's a pueblo nearby León, but not on the French Camino, on the Camino San Salvador, like 40 kilometers from León, more or less. That is called, on the Camino San Salvador, that is called Pola Dura de la Teja. And has nothing. There's one municipal work, there's one hostel, and that's it. There's no restaurant, there's nothing. But I don't know, I just love the surroundings. And there's a special meaning to it, of course, because he lets me tell you, because I really love to tell this story. Did you remember that I told you that I was walking the Camino for my friend? So this friend of mine is now 66 years old. He's from Sevilla, and he's a guy that walks, he's a pilgrim, and he walks every single Camino with shirts, almost the same shirts, just saying Sevilla and then 10. There is a racing a night very famous in Sevilla, and he just walked with this shirt saying Sevilla 10, Sevilla 10. Okay, on the first day of the Camino, leaving León, I met two couples from Sevilla. We talked like 10 minutes, and each of us at each rhythm. And then I saw this guy on the same. We stayed at the pension, and we stayed at the same pension. And they invited me to have dinner with them. Okay, and while we had dinner, we talked about it, and I told these two couples that I was walking the Camino from my friend from Sevilla, and it's okay. Next day, so we arrived at this small town, pueblo, and it's not even a town. And I stayed at the municipal albergue, and they stayed at the hostel. But like I said, there's nothing there, nothing over there. So on the hostel, there's also a restaurant, but it was full. So I went there. I called them just to see if they can do me a sandwich or something for me to have dinner. So they have done it. They cooked me a sandwich. So I went up, I picked up the sandwich, and I saw these two couples. And we realized that will be the last time that we'll see each other, because of from there we'll be doing different stages. So one of them went to his room and offered me one T-shirt, just saying Sevilla, then exactly the same shirt that my friend walks. And I arrived in Santiago with that same shirt, and that was really, really special. Maybe because of that, I really, really love to live on Pola Dura de la Tercia. So,
That's the Camino synergy at work.
yeah, definitely, definitely. So let's
The
go on.
Camino alchemy, so they said, that's the alchemy.
Yeah. So really, if you, let's again, if you needed to walk one stage 1,000 times, which stage?
Which stage of the Camino? So not which Camino, but which stage?
Which stage?
Oh, these are good questions, Guilherme. Good questions. I'm jealous that you have these questions, huh? Good questions. Wow, which stage? My Lord. I love Saint Jean Pied de Port to Roncesvalles. I love Santiago de Compostela to Negreira on the Camino Fisterra. But I think possibly trying to remember the stage on the Camino Portugués, the stage that goes, I think, is it Pontevedra to
Pontevedra,
Caldas de
Tocadas?
Reis?
Sí, yes.
That's nice.
On the other one before, Redondela Pontevedra.
Yeah. Probably it's between those two, I think, because
They are both lovely.
because
They are beautiful.
you're walking always alongside water.
So that's before Pontevedra. That's
Okay.
Redondela Pontevedra. Yeah.
Redondela Pontevedra.
One of my favorites ever also. So
Yeah. Because you're walking along sandy paths. Either side of the sandy paths are ravines where there's running water going alongside you. You have parts where you can actually, from one side, you can have your feet in the river, and the other side, you could be taking grapes from a vine. You
Really?
know?
So let's go. Redondela Pontevedra. Really nice answer. I really love it. It's really, really
You
beautiful.
know, like to that part where you can have your feet in the river and taking grapes from the vine at the same time,
That's
that's outrageously beautiful.
now let's talk about other important part of the Camino. That is the food. What are the food on any Camino that every time that you walk, you have to eat?
Everything. But let's go from place to place, right? I mean, everywhere you're going to find tortilla. Okay, granted, you're going to find pan con tomate, which is a great breakfast. You know, really good breakfast with the oil and the salt and the tomato grated into the bread. That's lovely. But when you get into, say, maybe you're in Pamplona and you got to, in Navarra, you got to try the pinchos. If you're in Portugal, I mean, you could probably be a better expert, a more educated, and you have more experience than me. But sorry if this sounds very touristy, but the pastéis de nata, it's so good. I mean, it's
Of
like
course,
typical, but it's so good, you know? And in Galicia, the seafood, the pulpo, the octopus, in Padrón, the pimientos de Padrón, obviously. In Santiago, the tarta de Santiago, you know, the lemon cake with the little sprinkling of sugar on it and the kind of bit of a lemon zest. So this, I mean, it's a playground for the senses, right? For the taste buds, it's a playground. Just if you had to ask me one thing,
for me, I have that one thing.
calamares, huh? Maybe the calamares. That's the thing I always have.
For me, it's tortilla. For me, it's
Okay.
tortilla. Yeah.
That's interesting
Every
coming from a
time.
Portuguese guy. You know, the Portuguese with the Spanish tortilla is.
Yeah, but
You divided loyalties here or what?
no, nothing like that. But we don't have tortilla in Portugal,
Maybe
so.
that's why. Maybe that's
Why
why.
I'm in Spain, that's really something that I really, really love
But the Portuguese
it.
coffee, yeah, the Portuguese coffee, it's
That
good.
always.
It's like fire.
That's awesome.
Wakes you up in the
And
morning,
then
like, whoa!
the Spanish coffee. So, other really, really, really important thing that Camino has is the people that we know. And that are really, really people that really stick out and really helped us, and in some points they change our lives or mark our paths. So it was the pilgrims or the hospitalers that were really special for you.
I remember one hospitalero in a place near Pamplona, Sisulmenor, and it was San Fermin. The albergues in Pamplona were all full, and this guy, he kind of helped us, and their albergue was full, but he managed to get us, worked some magic to get us a place on the floor in the church adjoining the albergue in Sisulmenor. So that guy really stands out. That guy really stands out. There was another guy in was it Redondela? I think it was Redondela. No, it was the first place Porriño. I was in Porriño. It was a lovely, lovely gentleman called Jose Manuel. And he was very, very nice. You know, it was December. There wasn't many people in the albergue, but he came down and, you know, he had a good chat with me and my wife. And in the end, he gave me a shell with an England flag on it. It was €3 in the thing, but he wouldn't take any money from me. And, you know, he gave me a real insight into the life of a hospitalero and some of the things he has to encounter. And it, you know, it seems like it can be a hard job. You know, it's not easy. You're trying to please.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Like he said,
For example, yesterday, it was really, really nice people. But I had a Belgian guy that didn't speak any English or any Spanish and any Portuguese. I know some friends, but not to have a conversation like 5 minutes, you know. Then I had 2 Italians, the same. They had just speak Italian. And then there was one German young girl, of course, that if she speak the English, it was easier. Well, so it was a day that were good people, good pilgrims, but mentally, just you trying to figure it out, trying to help them, trying to find the words in French or in Italian. It was really, really hard. I really went home really tired. But there was not the worst. There are, you know, the Camino is like our life. There are good people and not so good people. So sometimes we can have some problems. So it's not easy, as many people may think.
This is what this guy told me. Yeah, that's what he told me. You know, he said he hates having to tell people that they can't stay. You know, it's really, he said that's the hardest part of the job. They've got to walk an extra 9 kilometers to stay somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't envy that part of it, but.
You know, this.
He was a nice guy.
This outbreak when I'm being in hospital right now, here we have 42 bunk beds. 42. 2 years ago in May.
Where are you exactly?
10 kilometers after Barcelos.
What's the name of the place?
Tamel, Casa da Recoleta.
Okay. Casa da, I've been there. I've stayed there.
Right? That's amazing.
I've been there. Rach, he's in Casa de Recoleta. Right at the top of the hill.
Yeah. That's where I am.
That's a horrible hill.
That's a horrible hill, definitely.
Wow, that's a love. That brings back so many memories. I've slept in that place.
Yeah, I'm volunteering.
Oh, beautiful. Well done, man. Thanks for your service.
And, you know, it's really, really special being here. I want to say Amparo. It was one hospitalera on my first Camino in Caldas de Reis. She really, really, really helped me. Really, really helped. So Amparo will be that person. So Bradley, we're almost finishing here.
Hey, just one thing. Guilherme, they do a good pizza in that place. I spent my birthday there having a pizza.
Oh, that's amazing. Maybe you know this one from here.
I definitely got, that's the pizza I ordered. It was good. It was good. My wife and I got 2 pizzas the size of a table.
I will search for your name on the books. So, Bradley, we're almost finishing here. But I have 2 questions and one little favor to ask you. But first, what legacy did you pretend to leave amongst the Camino community?
What legacy do I want to leave in the Camino community? Is that what you mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, these are excellent questions, Guilherme. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to put one of these questions into my podcast and then credit you for them, okay?
Don't worry.
Excellent questions. And Guilherme, I have to compliment you. This is not even your first language, and you're asking questions like you are working for the BBC. She's so impressive. Hats off, my man. Hats off. Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. I'm very impressed. What legacy do I want to leave amongst the Camino community? What a beautiful question. I've never thought about. God. Okay. So this is not my words. These are the words of somebody I interviewed on the Pilgrims podcast, Camino de Santiago Pilgrims podcast, and it's so true. And these words that she said to me, Dev Cuney said to me, it's solved by walking. So if there's something I can leave people to, if I can plant any seed, it's that it's solved by walking.
I love that.
And I'll give an example of what I mean by that. On my last Camino, my wife and I did in the summer, I've been overcoming some injury problems in the last 12 months. And when you have an injury, it plays on your mind very much. You know, it plays psychological tricks on you. The psychological battle is sometimes harder than the physical battle. So we got to the point where I wasn't sure if I should carry on. I could carry on, but I wasn't sure if I should because I didn't know if I would make my injury worse or whatever. Anyway, it turns out I just had to carry on anyway. I had to carry on. I didn't have a choice. I had to carry on. And as soon as I started walking, all the anxieties, all of the worries, they just disappeared. Why? Because I'm walking. Meaning, it's solved by walking. It's, you know, you get out of your head and into the world and into your body, and it's solved by walking. So get out of your head, get into the great wide open. And yeah, that's the legacy I'd like to leave.
If your Camino could have one word, one expression, what would it be?
Adventure.
Man is love. So Bradley, we are almost finishing here. But now before I ask you something, I want you ask for a favor. So just to finish in here, I'm asking you just to leave a message from the Camino to the Camino, or from the Pilgrim to the Pilgrims. Anything you like to say about the Camino? Anything you may think, or anything you wanted to tell, just a message about the Camino, please.
All I can ever say to the Camino, if the Camino was a person, I would just say thank you for giving me the most wonderful experiences of my life. That's what I would say.
That's brilliant.
It's so special.
That's brilliant. Really, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it, and I hope to see you someday on the Camino. Thank you so much.
Guilherme, enjoy it. Casa de Recoleta. I love that place. Had such a good night there. Good pizza. And thank you for asking me to do this. Thank you for being hospitalero, because I know it's not an easy job. And thank you for all you do for the Camino community as well, because I know you're very popular out there. I know you live and breathe the Camino. Hence, you're on the the Albergue right now. And yeah, it would be lovely to bump into you one day.
Thank you so much, brother. So let's go. So Redondela Pontevedra. Really nice answer. I really love it. It's really, really beautiful.
You know, like to that part where you can have your feet in the river and taking grapes from the vine at the same time, that's outrageously beautiful.
Now let's talk about another important part of the Camino. That is the food. What are the food on any Camino that every time that you walk, you have to eat?
Everything. But let's go from place to place, right? I mean, everywhere you're going to find tortilla. Okay, granted, you're going to find pan con tomate, which is a great breakfast, you know, really good breakfast with the oil and the salt, and the tomato grated into the bread. That's lovely. But when you get into, say, maybe you're in Pamplona and you got in Navarra, you got to try the pinchos. If you're in Portugal, I mean, you could probably be a better expert, a more educated, and you have more experience than me, but sorry if this sounds very touristy, but The pastéis de nata, it's so good. I
Of
mean,
course,
it's
of
like
course. Yeah.
typical, but it's so good, you know? And in Galicia, the seafood, the pulpo, the octopus, in Padrón, the pimientos de Padrón, obviously. In Santiago, the tarta de Santiago, you know, the lemon cake with the little sprinkling of sugar on it and the kind of bit of a lemon zest. So this, I mean, it's a playground for the senses, right? For the taste buds, it's a playground. Just if you had to ask me one thing,
For me, I have that one thing. I have.
calamares, huh? Maybe the calamares. That's the thing I always have.
For me, it's tortilla. For me, it's
Okay.
tortilla. Yeah.
That's interesting
Every
coming from a
time.
Portuguese guy, you know, the Portuguese with the Spanish tortilla is.
Yeah, but you
Divided
know,
loyalties here or what?
no, nothing like that. But you know, we don't have tortilla in Portugal.
Maybe
So.
that's why. Maybe that's why.
Why I'm in Spain, that's really something that I really, really love
But the Portuguese coffee, yeah, the Portuguese coffee. It's
that
good.
always.
It's like
And
fire.
that's awesome.
Wakes you up in the
I
morning
love
like,
the
whoa!
Spanish coffee. So, another really, really, really important thing that came in West is the people that we know. And that are really, really people that really stick out and really helped us, and in some points they change our lives or mark our paths. So it was the pilgrims or the hospitalers that were really special for you.
I remember one hospitalero in a place near Pamplona, Sisulmenor, and it was San Fermin. The albergues in Pamplona were all full, and this guy, he kind of helped us, and their albergue was full, but he managed to get us, worked some magic to get us a place on the floor in the church adjoining the albergue in Sisulmenor. So that guy really stands out. That guy really stands out. There was another guy in was it Redondela? I think it was Redondela. No, it was the first place. Porriño.
Orino,
Porriño. I was in
yeah.
Porriño. It was a lovely, lovely gentleman called Jose Manuel. And he was very, very nice. You know, it was December. There wasn't many people in the albergue, but he came down and, you know, he had a good chat with me and my wife. And in the end, he gave me a shell with an England flag on it. It was 3 euros in the thing, but he wouldn't take any money from me. And, you know, he gave me a real insight into the life of a hospitalero and some of the things he has to encounter. And you know, it seems like it can be a hard job. You know, it's not easy. You're trying to
It's not
please.
easy. It's not easy.
Yeah, like he
I mean,
said, you know,
for
you.
example, yesterday, it was really, really nice people. But I have a Belgian guy that did not speak any English or any Spanish and any Portuguese. I know some friends, but not to have a conversation like 5 minutes, you know. Then I had two Italians, the same. They had so just speak Italian. And then there was one German young girl, of course, that if she speaks the English, it was easier. Well, so it was a day that were good people, good pilgrims, but mentally, just you trying to figure it out, trying to help them, trying to find the words in French or in Italian, it was really, really hard. I really went home really tired. But there was not the worst. There are, you know, the Camino is like our life. There are good people and not so good people. So sometimes we can have some problems. So it's not easy as many people may think.
This is what this guy told me. Yeah, that's what he told me. You know, he said he hates having to tell people that they can't stay. You know, it's really, he said that's the hardest part of the job. They've got to walk an extra 9 kilometers to stay somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't envy that part of it, but
You know,
he was a nice guy.
this outburst where I or being hospital right now. Here we have 42 bunk beds. 42. 2 years ago in May.
Where are you exactly?
10 kilometers after Barcelos.
What's the name of the place?
Tamel, Casa da Recoleta.
Okay. Casa da, I've been there. I've stayed there. I've stayed there.
Right? That's amazing.
I've been there. Rach, he's in Casa de Recoleta. Right at the top of the hill.
Yeah. That's where everyone I am.
That's a horrible hill.
That's a horrible hill, definitely.
Wow, that's a love. That brings back so many memories. I've slept in that place.
Yeah, I'm volunteering here.
Oh, beautiful. Well done, man. Thanks for your service.
And, you know, it's really, really special being here. I want to say Amparo. It was one hospitalera on my first Camino in Caldas de Reis. She really, really, really helped me. Really, really a lot. So Amparo will be that person. So Bradley, we're almost finishing here.
Hey, just one thing. Yeah. Guilherme, they do a good pizza in that place. I spent my birthday there having a pizza.
Oh, that's amazing. Maybe you know this one. One here.
I definitely got, that's the pizza I ordered. It was good. It was good. My wife and I got two pizzas the size of a table.
I will search for your name on the books. So, Bradley, we're almost finishing here. But I have two questions and one little favor to ask you. But first, what legacy did you pretend to leave amongst the Camino community?
What legacy do I want to leave in the Camino community? Is that what you mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, these are excellent questions, Guilherme. Like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to put one of these questions into my podcast and then credit you for them, okay?
Don't worry. Excellent questions.
And Guilherme, I have to compliment you. This is not even your first language, and you're asking questions like you are working for the BBC. She's so impressive. Hats off, my man. Hats off.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. I'm very impressed. What legacy do I want to leave amongst the Camino community? What a beautiful question. I've never thought about. God. Okay. So this is not my words. These are the words of somebody I interviewed on the Pilgrims podcast. Camino de Santiago Pilgrims podcast, and it's so true. And these words that she said to me, Dev Cuny said to me, it's solved by walking. So if there's something I can leave people to, if I can plant any seed, it's that it's solved by walking. And I'll give an example of what I mean by that. On my last Camino, my wife and I did in the summer, I've been overcoming some injury problems in the last 12 months. And when you have an injury, it plays on your mind very much. You know, it plays psychological tricks on you. The psychological battle is sometimes harder than the physical battle. So we got to the point where I wasn't sure if I should carry on. I could carry on, but I wasn't sure if I should because I didn't know if I would make my injury worse or whatever. Anyway, it turns out I just had to carry on anyway. I had to carry on. I didn't have a choice. I had to carry on. And as soon as I started walking, all the anxieties, all of the worries, they just disappeared. Why? Because I'm walking. Meaning, it's solved by walking. It's, you know, you get out of your head and into the world and into your body, and it's solved by walking. So get out of your head, get into the great wide open. And yeah, that's the legacy I'd like to leave.
If your Camino could have one word, one expression, what would it be?
Adventure.
Mine is love. So Bradley, we are almost finishing here. But now before I ask you something, I want you ask for a favor. So, just to finish in here, I'm asking you just to leave a message from the Camino to the Camino, or from the Pilgrim to the Pilgrims. Anything you like to say about the Camino, anything you may think, or anything you wanted to tell, just a message about the Camino, please.
All I can ever say to the Camino, if the Camino was a person, I would just say thank you for giving me the most wonderful experiences of my life. That's what I would say.
That's brilliant.
It's so special.
That's brilliant. Really, thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really, really enjoy it. And I hope to see you someday on the Camino. Thank you so much.
Guilherme, enjoy it, Casa de Recoleta. I love that place. Had such a good night there. Good pizza. And thank you for asking me to do this. Thank you for being hospitalero, because I know it's not an easy job. And thank you for all you do for the Camino community as well, because I know you're very popular out there. I know you live and breathe the Camino. Hence, you're on the you're in the albergue right now. And yeah, it would be lovely to bump into you one day.